thinking about what the theme would be for this month and decided that this month would be a really good month to talk about patience. Since we all want to get out of from the virus and all that other fears and stuff like that and move on with life. But we got to think about what do you do when things don't go your way? Or when money becomes tight or somebody cheats on you or the unexpected happens. What happens when life gets difficult and you don't have a solution? What happens when something needs to be done and you don't have enough time to get it done? For most of us, we get frustrated or we get angry. But we're really getting angry at things that are out of our control. Our anger is really trying to make something happen that we can't really make happen. And I'd like to examine for this morning a couple things of what we should do when things go wrong. For example, let's talk about for a moment, what do we do when people do you wrong? You know, regardless of how another person behaves, what the scriptures teach us consistently is that we should always return good. In Proverbs chapter 24, Proverbs 24 and in verse 29, do not say, thus I shall do to him as he has done to me. I will render to the man according to his work. We don't return evil for evil. If it was wrong to be done to me, then it is wrong for me to do it to anybody else. It's as simple as that. And also in Proverbs, this time chapter 20, Proverbs 20 and verse 22, do not say, I will repay evil. Wait for the Lord and he will save you. In other words, don't take matters into your own hands. Instead, we wait for the Lord to deal with the situation. There's no, I'll teach him. Rather, what Jesus teaches us to do in Matthew chapter 5, in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 39, he said, but I say to you, do not resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. A slap on the cheek is an insult. Rather than returning the insult, he said, give him the other cheek. Or Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. First Thessalonians chapter 5 and in verse 15, Paul says, see that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. So instead of doing evil, we actually go out of our way to do what is good. So it's not just that, hey, somebody did me wrong, I'm not going to ignore him. Jesus is teaching us that we actually return good for those people. In 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 9. Do not return evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. Rather than doing exactly what somebody else does to me, which usually turns out that somebody does a little bit more than what somebody else did to me, Jesus says we actually return good. When somebody insults us, we return a blessing. We go out of our way to meet evil with good. In Romans chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, starting with verse 17, It goes down to verse 21, and not as the chart says, to 31. Romans 12, starting with verse 17, says, "Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, and I will repay,' says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Now, this basically means that we're going to have to keep rein on our emotions. We're going to have to hold back the impulse that all of us have that we want to get back. And rather look at every situation and say, how can I return the good when somebody does wrong to me? Further, when we have enemies, people who are just absolutely against us, our goal is to love them. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44, "But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." There's an interesting law in the Old Testament back in Exodus. A lot of times when we have somebody that we really don't like, most of us deal with it by, again, trying to isolate ourselves. Standing back, just letting things go. But in the law, it said in Exodus 23, and starting with verse 4, "If you meet your enemy's ox or his donkey wandering away, you shall surely return it to him. If you see the donkey of one who hates you lying helpless under his load, you shall refrain from leaving it to him. You shall surely release it with him." Doesn't matter what you see, if you're seeing somebody that's in need, you help. If nothing else, if an ox or an animal that belongs to somebody that really hates you is wandering around, it's not the animal's fault that his master hates you. Do good. Benefit the other person. So when you see the enemy, do you open the door and hold it open for them, or do you slam it in the face? If you see your enemy struggling, do you give him a hand or do you walk by? What's being taught is that we go out of our way to do what is good. In Proverbs 25, Proverbs 25 and verse 21, it says, "If your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. If he is thirsty, give him water to drink. For you will heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you." We give aid to anyone who is in need, even if it's our worst enemy. Jesus takes it a little further in Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6 and in verse 35, he said, "But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you'll be sons of the Most High, for he himself is kind to the ungrateful and evil men." It doesn't matter if a person is not appreciative. If someone needs help and he needs money, you lend them without expecting it to be returned. Well, after all, he's probably your enemy. He's probably not going to. He's probably not going to be grateful about it. But you do what's right. That's the way we overcome evil. But think about also when no one's listening to you. You try to teach the gospel. You try to help other people. Allergies are getting really strong today. Nobody seems to listen. What do? You need to think about the long-term objectives. What are you after? In 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4, and starting with verse 1, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge of the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. That's the job that preachers are given. It doesn't matter what's happening in the immediate term, you're looking at the long term. Some people take a long time for things to settle in and to understand what God is actually teaching. We have to teach with patience. In the same chapter, book, back in 2 Timothy 2, look at verse 23. It says, but refuse foolish and ignorant speculations, knowing that they produce quarrels. The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth. And they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. We don't strive with people. You don't force someone to believe what's the truth. You have to be patient with them all. In Titus was given similar instructions in chapter 3, verse 1. Remind them to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed, to malign no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing every consideration for all men. For we also once were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness of God our Savior and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might be heirs, be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. We have to remember, and that sometimes helps with the patience. I got to remember, hey, I was there once before myself. Maybe not on that particular topic, or with that particular problem, but I've had subjects that I've had difficulty grasping. It's taken sometimes years for me for it to sink in. I need to look at it long term and be sympathetic with other people and understand some things are just hard to understand. It also means, though, I have to learn to put up with people. Some people are hard to get along with. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 1 Corinthians 13 verse 4, it says, love is patient. That's the very first thing it says. Love is kind, is not jealous, love does not brag, is not arrogant. Going down to verse 7, it says, it bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love is about patience and long suffering. Over in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and starting with verse 1. He said, therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Again, how do I manage to deal with people that are just plain annoying? Because sometimes there are people that annoy you, even in among the brethren. And the answer is, you be patient. You show tolerance. You work with them. Because you're after the long term, which is to keep the unity. Over time, things get better. Over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and in verse 14, he says, we urge you, brethren, to admonish the unruly, to encourage the faint-hearted, to help the weak, be patient with everyone. There's different things that need to be done for different people. Some people need to be admonished. Some people need to be encouraged. Some people need help. Underneath all of it is patience with everyone. And in Colossians chapter 3, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12, so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. So when we have people that are hard to get along with, we put them up with them, we forgive them, because after all, Christ forgave us. And it's the least that we can do. Probably though, what makes most people more impatient than anything else is when things just don't go the way they think they should. We've had a lot of examples of that in recent times. And when there's difficulties that we're facing, again, we need to be patient. Take a look at what it says in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 12. Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer. Persevering. It's the idea of continuing on, hanging on. We need to be patient. There's an example that we find in the life of Christ in Luke chapter 9. Jesus was traveling towards Jerusalem and he stops in Samaria. And it says in verse 51, Luke chapter 9, verse 51, when the days were approaching for his ascension, he was determined to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers on ahead of him, and they went and entered a village of the Samaritans to make arrangements for him. But they did not receive him because he was traveling toward Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? But he turned and rebuked them and said, you do not know what kind of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And he went on to another village. Yes, did the Samaritans insult Jesus? And the answer is yes. Did they deserve to be destroyed over that? Jesus was patient with them. Yes, they were having trouble at that time. Fine, let's go somewhere else. Give them time to change. He didn't retaliate. He didn't even argue. He simply went to another town. When we face difficult situations, that's when we need to be long-suffering. In Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And in verse 9. For this reason also, since the day we have heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and ask you that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit of every good work and increasing the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfast and patience, joyously, giving thanks to the Father who qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Notice that. Strength, one of Paul's prayers, that they be strengthened to obtain patience. In Galatians chapter 5, Galatians 5, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. That is what we're striving for, is patience. It's a result of being a Christian. It's the result of following after God's word, learning from him. In fact, to James says in James chapter 3 and verse 13 or 17, James 3 verse 17, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. That is the type of wisdom God gives us. Every one of us needs to learn how to be patient. There's always going to be times when our patience is tried. I think one of my favorite things I remember about Dima, because I kept telling him to be patient. And one time he turned around to me and he said, what is this thing called patience? It's what we all need. In Titus chapter 2, Titus chapter 2 and verse 2. Older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, in love, and perseverance. Again, that's that idea. We learn to grow in that. Having continual patience. It comes about because we face down trials. As James says in James chapter 1 and verse 4. Verse 2, he says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let that endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Trials come. From that, we learn to endure. From that, we are made complete. I hope you'll think about these things. If there's anyone here who's not yet a child of God, there's no better time to put on Christ. And for those of you who are children of God, we'd like the prayers of your brethren on your behalf. We offer that opportunity. Why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the psalm that was selected.